I'm so glad we're having our next discussion with Mr. Ian Fuhr, because we call that a defensive answer of a person who clearly wasn't listening to the words that I said. Moving forward, morning, Refilwe. Thanks to your two callers yesterday who recommended the Stellenbosch Traffic Centre for driver's license renewals. I went there yesterday and was in and out within an hour. Very efficient and friendly and COVID-19 compliant. So grateful, thank you, says Judy in Somerset West. We keep on getting positive feedback about the Somerset West traffic department. I'd be very keen to hear from you guys, any other traffic departments that are doing well. Someone else says, alcohol industry, what it sounds like is profit over lives. Yikes. And we'll talk a little bit more about the confections that have been cancelled. So serial entrepreneur Ian Fuhr says ending racism in business is an economic imperative. He highlights the following quote, we cannot wait for government. As business leaders, we need to solve our economic crisis ourselves. And it goes deeper than name calling. It goes deeper than telling people to get over it. And he wrote a very interesting piece. He joins us on the line now, founder of Sorbet and the Hatch Institute. Mr. Ian Fuhr, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thanks, Refilwe. Thank you very much for having me on the show, and good morning, everybody.
Indeed. So it's a conversation that keeps coming up. You would have heard what I just read out a little bit earlier.
Yes.
There are defensive, very, very polarized perspectives in this country on all sides, and we keep coming into the discussion, as you would have heard in the tonality of that text, from the perspective of what I own and what I stand to lose, and what I think I'm entitled to, let's say. And that happens in every corner of the racial discussion. And I thought it was great, instead of speaking from a point of, you know, personal experience and protectionism, we could speak about the principles, these eight principles that you learned or that you shared, having learned this as a white entrepreneur in South Africa. So first of all, let us know what prompted you to write this op-ed.
Okay, for many years throughout my entrepreneurial journey, I've been involved with race relations. In fact, back in the 1990s, during the period of transformation to democracy, I used to be a race relations consultant to public companies, and dealing with the issues of racism in the workplace and the impact on productivity of racial polarization. So it's been a long-term subject for me and a passion that I've always been involved with. And even throughout my various entrepreneurial ventures like Sorbet, I've worked very hard to get the staff and the management and the franchisees, for example, at Sorbet, to understand the impact of race relations and racial polarization in the workplace. And I think it's been an important journey, and it's still a big passion of mine. And in my new business, I'm focusing heavily on that at the moment, because I really believe that racial polarization is probably the single biggest problem that we face in South Africa today.
So I found it it was a wonderful tongue-in-cheek comment, your opening line or early lines in the piece, saying a white person in South Africa writing about racism is like a criminal talking to the victim about integrity. Why do you say that?
Because it's difficult as a white person, because you have to build the credibility to be able to talk about race relations. I feel uncomfortable having to try and defend social injustice or to try and attack it or try and do anything from a white perspective, because I always felt that black people will say, well, it's easy for you to say you're white and you're privileged. And so it's always been a challenge for me, but I think that I need to speak out. I've worked on this area for many years, but I've never really pushed the boundaries. I've never pushed the limits, and I've now started to deal with those uncomfortable conversations and issues around race that we need to have in South Africa if we're going to move forward. Too many people are always looking at the past and saying, well, why don't we forget about the past now? Why don't we move on? I'm so tired of hearing about apartheid and this and that. But in actual fact, we can't move on until such time as we fully understand our own biases and how we were raised and the prejudices that we have. Because we all have this thing called unconscious bias. It's part of human nature, and our history has created an environment in which every single person is touched by this bias. And the sooner we learn to understand it and deal with it, the sooner we'll be able to address the problems of our past and then hopefully find some sort of commonality going forward.
What are some of, so a number of your 8 points of what people need to pay attention to, you speak about understanding systemic racism in addition to what you just said regarding unconscious bias. And then you also speak about accepting white privilege and redressing past wrongs. It feels as though all four of those can be interwoven.
correct. They're all interwoven in one way or another. And it's high time that white people start to acknowledge their own privilege. It's not just about white people who say that, I've also struggled, life hasn't been easy for me either, but every single white person in South Africa has benefited from our past in one way or another and is privileged in that way. And the sooner we acknowledge that, and rather than denying it and arguing about it, the sooner we can look into ourselves, uncover our unconscious biases and then deal with them and try and overcome them. That's what we have to do, because white privilege is a fact of life. It's not something that was made up. It's real, and it has been for many, many, many years.
It's often said in a counter sort of perspective that, there are many privileged black people. The government is also, enriching themselves. I mean, what do you say to that when that perspective is given?
Yeah, well, I think the issue particularly comes up in terms of corruption there. And now they say the government is corrupt, but it's not about race. Race and corruption are two very different things. Corruption is more about power and who's holding the power, whereas race is a different issue altogether. And if we look back at the apartheid government, and that was also highly corrupt. I mean, they in fact stole a whole country away from the black people. So all governments are corrupt, but it has more to do with power than it has to do with race. And once you have the power, you can start to build up your own wealth and all of those type of things. So it's just a reaction more than anything else that we're dealing with. But it doesn't take away from the fact that whites are still privileged in this country, even today.
So, from what I take from these first 4 points, Ian, is there's a sense of we will move forward, but once we acknowledge past, right? And there's a saying that's been put forward by a writer, Sisonke Msimang, that I always highlight, that says, a quote of hers that says, when it comes to the history of South Africa, black people can't forget and white people refuse to remember. And so is there a sense of is there an imbalance in who is being expected to come forward to the table?
Yeah, look, as far as I'm concerned, Rufil, there is a responsibility on white people. It's not to say that blacks shouldn't be involved, but we do need to actually face the issues that we have to deal with. We need to understand our own biases, our own prejudices. And a lot of that is unconscious. We don't intentionally go out to be racist. And we also need to understand the difference between racism and discrimination and prejudice. And a prejudice is a prejudgment about a certain type of people. Discrimination is acting on those prejudices. And racism is when you have the power to control the discrimination. And so those are the things that we need to understand. And because we've all had a privileged background, we do need to dig into this. And of course, black people need to be part of the solution. But really, as far as I'm concerned, white privilege and unconscious biases do need to be the priority right now.
So, Ian, now, you, as you said, you're the founder of Sorbet, a wildly successful business, and a serial entrepreneur. You've given insight to the Harvard Business School and the like. And so this point that you highlight in your piece around people before profits, I think, is probably the most presently applicable, again, in the context of what we just heard from that text I read out. What do you mean when you say, especially under the COVID-19 pandemic, when you talk about people before profits?
Well, under the COVID-19 pandemic, we've discovered these enormous inequalities that exist in our society between the haves and the have-nots. And unless we start to address that type of thing as well, it's a problem. So what we have to look at is that capitalism and individual greed has taken control of our lives throughout the world largely and in South Africa. But it's exacerbated in this country because of the inequalities and the huge gap between the various income, between the top and the bottom. And so we need to perhaps start to show companies that they can't just focus on narrow profit objectives. They do need to keep people employed, especially at this time. We can't be retrenching people because, if we retrench everybody, then who's going to be our customers at the end of the day that don't have any money? How do we rebuild the economy when half of the country is unemployed? So I'm kind of urging, particularly big business, I should say. Smaller businesses obviously don't have much of a choice, but big businesses can, if they have the reserves, and they can try and keep people on and not retrench them. And so that's what I'm urging people to do, is to look at people before profits, because the new world after the pandemic will definitely have to have a much more human face than what it is at the moment. People are being treated more like cost burdens than assets in the company. You know, there's not much difference in many companies between a person and a pencil, because it's just another cost. And so until such time as we build cultures and we have culture-driven leaders, is what I call them, culture-driven leaders who can go out there and navigate the socio-political issues that we have to deal with in South Africa and bring those skills into leadership as well. It's not just about making money anymore. It's now about bringing people in, building cultures, creating a sense of belonging in organizations, regardless of race and color and creed and religion and et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we have to do. We need a new breed of leader, and that's what the Hatch-Institute and the Hatch Institute is all about, really. It's about trying to create this new breed of leaders that can take us into the new world of post the COVID pandemic.
And I'd be so excited to continue that discussion with the Hatch Institute, specifically about the culture-driven leaders. You raise a really important point around, I suppose, the grudge purchase that is human resources these days, and the way it becomes a box-ticking and begrudging exercise to have diversity of inclusion, be it women, be it people with disabilities, be it people of a different race, but especially in South Africa of a different race. And of course, if you're still holding on to your biases and racism of the past, even then you have those people in the company, you'll never actually include them.
And that's exactly right. Although you put it extremely well. You can come and join the Hatch Institute with pleasure.
Any day.
Share some of your thoughts.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Ian Fear, thank you so much for this perspective. I wish we had more time, but I will direct everybody, please, to, if you're serious about the future of this country, thehatchinstitute.org has this some available perspectives. Thanks again, Ian Fear, founder of Sorbet and the Hatch Institute.
Thank you very much.